Praise God, for the Lord is good. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, tonight we feel led of the Lord to share with you, and I want to share some pictures and two short videos. I'll try and explain these pictures for you. I want to thank first Brother Andrew Wolf and all his team up there who helped set up these videos and pictures, and they do such an awesome job. Could you give them a big hand? You can't see them, but to me, they're a big part of this service because they help set up all of these things. So this first picture, if this is the first one, then this is our third anniversary, Tony and I. We're on a cruise ship, the Utopia of the Seas, and we took our family on this particular cruise, and we're in the North Atlantic Sea, but we are actually in a train car, train, T-R-A-I-N, in the middle of the cruise ship. And it is the occasion of our third anniversary, and Tony wanted to have this special mystery dinner, and so we slipped away from all of our family and friends who were with us on this cruise, and she and I went off to this place, and when we got off the elevator, the moment we got off the elevator, you're at a train depot back in the Old West, and someone dressed in Western gear comes to greet you and welcome you, and that door closes, and everything else you see makes you feel like you're in the Wild, Wild West. And they take your tickets, and so that first picture was our table. They took us to the train car and seated us. Now, these are the tickets they gave us, and the conductor came down and asked for our tickets. And we gave him the tickets. Here's another picture of us at the table. You notice the shade is pulled down to our right of Tony. That shade is pulled down, but those shades went up automatically, and just amazing video started. And the train started moving, and you felt like you were actually on a train in the Wild, Wild West. So we were just about, they'd given us a menu, and we were just about to take off on the train. What's the next picture we have? Here is, on the train, when I sat down, the conductor came over to me, and he asked me for our tickets. I gave him the tickets, and he gave me a box. And he said, while we're on the train tonight, this box is very important. Don't tell anybody that you have it. And I said, okay. He said, there's some valuable things in the box. Don't tell anybody that you got it. And so I kept that beside me. And then there was a poster. I don't know if we have a poster. There was a poster that said, we didn't pay attention to the poster. The poster said, wanted, dead or mainly alive or whatever. And they had this poster. That's me holding that box because the train got held up in the middle of our dinner. We were having this nice dinner on the train. The train's moving just like a real train, and you're out in the Wild, Wild West, and all of a sudden, this gang, the Wild, they called themselves the Wild Bunch, they slowed down the train, and they jumped on the train, and then they held us up right in the middle of dinner. And that's the Yates sisters. They said, beware. One sign, it said, beware of the Yates sisters. They've been robbing banks and robbing trains. And the Yates sisters came, interrupted our dinner, boarded the train. That's one of the Yates sisters. Her name was Big Bad Billy. Am I right, Tony? Was that her name? Yeah, her name, I don't know, Billy. Okay. Her name was Big Bad Billy. And she walked around at gunpoint asking where the box was. And then you saw me holding the box up in the previous picture. She had me held at gunpoint. And she said, I've been to every other table. I know you got that box. Give it up. So I had to give up the box. We have a couple of short videos. They're just 15 seconds and 12 seconds. That'll show you what it was like. See the video there? It plays right there. It's like you're out in the West. The train is moving and rocking like a train would be. And all of a sudden, Big Bad Billy and them show up. And so that's just like a 12-second video or whatever. That's when we went through one town. But we're on our way to another town. There's one more little video, I think, if they have that other one. This is another video that you can see other people in the train. There's probably eight other couples in the train, families, whatever, and we're moving on from town to town. And just really, we had a blast there. But the Yates sisters, with Big Bad Billy in the lead, came and robbed the train. And so why did I show you all that? The title of this message tonight is Don't Let the Devil Rob Your Train. I said, don't let the devil rob your train. Look at me and help me with that title. Look at somebody and tell them, don't let the devil rob your train. Look at somebody else, tell them, don't let the devil rob your train. You know, that was all very fun, and we had a fantastic time, and we just celebrating our anniversary, and it was just a great time. But All of it was, just simulated. The video was simulated. The dinner was real and delicious. All of the acting and scenery and lights was all simulated and almost made for Hollywood. It was very well done, but it was all fantasy. But I introduced my sermon this way tonight because what I'm speaking on tonight, don't let the devil rob your train, is something that's a very serious subject. And so I'm approaching a very serious subject to start out in a very light way, because the Bible says there is a thief out there. You know that, I know that. His name is Satan, we know that. And I feel like the Lord wants me to remind us of three things. Now, you may be new in Christ, and maybe the first time you're hearing it. Okay, praise the Lord. But I feel like the Lord wants me to remind us of some things that you might already know. And so it's so very important that we talk about these issues, because if we don't shore up these areas, these three areas I'm going to talk about tonight, then the enemy will try to rob the train. The Bible says that Satan is a thief. You've heard John 10:10 before. You know, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he said, what? I've come that you might have life. What? And life more abundantly, right? We know that scripture, John 10:10. Of course, you could go to other places of the New Testament. 1 Peter 5:8-9. The scripture says, be sober. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, that word devour has that implication to steal from. But the scripture says, verse 9, but resist him, firm in your faith. That's our authority as believers, knowing that the same experience of suffering is being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So when I say don't let the devil rob your train, I really mean don't let the devil keep you from enjoying the beautiful things that God has already provided for you and I through Christ. We live in a fallen world. Things don't always go according to plan. And sometimes things happen in all of our lives that bring disappointment. But these three areas I'm going to remind you of tonight are critical if we're going to walk in the victory that Jesus has already won. The good news tonight is that the devil has already been defeated. He was defeated by our Lord Jesus Christ. He has been, he is, he was, he forever will be defeated. And Christ has shared his victory with you and I as believers. And if we'll stand on the reality of God's word concerning who we are in Christ, there's nothing that the devil can do to rob our train. In fact, you'll put him on the run in the other direction. So these three words tonight that I want to talk about. First is persistence. Persistence. Second, I'll show you all my cards. Secondly, people. People. Thirdly, perspective. For a few moments, I want to speak on each of these words. I feel led to speak on each of these words just for a few moments. Persistence. People. And perspective. Let's talk about persistence first, because you'll never walk in the victory that Christ has won if you don't develop a persistence about you. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, the scripture says in the New American Standard, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. And the reality is that we all go through things in this life. And these things are intended to test our faith. But the Bible says that you and I must develop persistence. We have to learn how to develop persistence or endurance. Endurance. And if we're going to have endurance, then we're going to have to learn first how to maintain our level of joy and all of that. But Jesus told a story about persistence in Luke chapter 18. Verse 1 in the New American Standard. Luke 18, verse 1 in the New American Standard. Jesus told this story. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me a legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Verse 7, now Will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So this woman would not give up. She had tenacity, and she had, listen, this is what we need. She had an unwillingness to quit. Everybody say unwillingness to quit. Every believer needs to have an unwillingness to quit. We need persistence. We need endurance. And when our faith becomes tested, the Bible says that our endurance begins to grow. In this area of persistence, being persistent, endurance, in this area, be careful, because time can get in your way. And if you quit, the enemy will rob your train by default. There are too many people who just give up, they quit, and the enemy is able to rob the train, not because he had any power over them to begin with. We already said Satan is a defeated foe. Anybody glad that Satan's a defeated foe? Yeah. But we have to remain persistent. We have to grow in our persistence. Why? So that we don't let anything make us quit. Amen. And by faith in Christ, our faith in Christ is what builds in you and I that tenacity, that faith that we're not going to give up no matter what. It's what Pastor Hagin always says, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. It's that type of tenacity. And every believer must have it. We have too many believers on the edge, hanging around toward the edge, thinking about quitting, looking over the fence. Maybe I should quit. No, we need persistence. And there are times when we've missed it and God shows us that. And then what do? If we've missed it and God shows us something, then we have to repent and turn around. But if we haven't missed it, then what do? Then we have to stand our ground. I'm going to say that again. If there's an area where we've missed it, then we have to repent and turn around. But if we haven't missed it, we have to stand our ground. I said amen. I'm going to say that again until you give me an amen. Give me an amen, then I'll go on to the next point. If we've missed it, then we have to repent. But if we haven't missed it, listen, we have to stand our ground. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. And so it's so important that we learn to be persistent. Jesus said, I want to read Matthew 7:7 from the Message Bible. I have it in the New American Standard, which I'm reading tonight. But Matthew 7:7 from the Message Bible, it says, don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for a fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think the God who conceived you in love will be even better? When we know that something is the will of God for our lives, we have to refuse to give up. We have to refuse to quit. We have to refuse to relent. And we have to develop a dogged determination that we are not going to quit. Abraham had an opportunity to quit. God made him a promise that he was going to have children. God changed his name to the father of many nations. And at the time that God did all that, he didn't have one child. And you know his story, if you've read the Bible at all. There's 25 years ago by between God's promise to him and the fulfillment of that promise. But Abraham knew two things. Number one, he knew he had heard from God. And number two, he knew that faithful is he who promised. He judged God faithful. He knew he'd heard from God, and he knew God was faithful. And so you know what he did? He just refused to quit. He refused to relent. There were times when he didn't understand. People asked him his name. His name literally meant, after God changed his name, was Abram. God changed his name to Abraham. So his name, Abraham, literally means the father of nations. And so people ask him his name, and he says, my name's the father of nations. Oh, okay, how many kids you got? None. He refused to relent. He refused to quit. He refused to give up on the promise that God made him. And every Christian needs to have persistence. Persistence. Secondly, the second word I told you. Second word, patience. We need patience. Go with me to Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6, 10 through 12. This time reading from the NIV. Hebrews chapter 6, 10 through 12. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. Verse 12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised. The Bible says that we inherit God's promises, listen now, through faith and patience. Faith and patience. We're talking about patience right now. Over in Luke chapter 10, of course, is a story about Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. And of course, Mary and Martha are the subject of this story. And Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says, Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. So Mary chose what Jesus called the good part. Of the two of these sisters, Mary and Martha, which one do you think was in a greater position to receive from God? It was Mary, wasn't it? Mary was seated at the Lord's feet. Martha, of course, Jesus loved her just as much as Mary, but Martha was already in strife with her sister. At the time that Martha calls out to Jesus for help, she's telling Jesus, tell her to help me. So if she's telling Jesus to tell Mary to help her, you know she was already thinking. She's probably already glaring at Mary, get up here and help me. Can you imagine the nonverbal communication going on with Martha and Mary? Mary's sitting there seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. And Martha's preparing the dinner, and she's getting angrier by the minute. And I'm sure she's trying to establish eye contact with Mary, but Mary was refusing to be distracted. We're talking about patience. To keep the devil, Satan's a defeated foe. But to keep him from robbing your train, you're going to have to be patient with people. Being patient with people. Quarrels, arguments, strife. Quarrels and arguments lead to strife, and strife will keep you from receiving from God. Be careful here because people can get in your way. You know, when we talked about persistence, we said be careful because time can get in your way. When things don't happen in a timely fashion, people say, well, I want to quit. Something didn't happen in a timely fashion in a way that I thought. But here with patience, people can get in your way if you're not careful, if you allow them to. When that happens, you begin to think that people are actually your problem or that people are actually your enemy. And that's not true at all. And strife with people oftentimes lead to what derails faith in people's heart. That people can start out in faith in an area and then get in strife with people. And getting in that strife can derail the train of faith. Scripture says in James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have. You commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain. You fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And then it goes on to say you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. And here, James is telling spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians why they're not receiving from God. Something has derailed the train. And getting in strife with people can derail the train. Remember this, every step out of love is a step into sin. And therefore, the enemy loves it when we are so easily driven off of our stand of faith by getting out of love with people. Oh, you know how people are. People are the same everywhere. People can be arrogant and hateful, and people can be rude. Just go to the red light, or just go to Walmart. Go get your favorite beverage at Quick Trip, and you can run into somebody who's being rude to you. But the Bible calls you and I as believers to have patience with people. And most of the time, people don't mean it anyway. People are rude sometimes and nasty and arrogant. But you know what? If you knew the person who's being so rude, if you knew their story, if you knew what they'd been through. We have a friend that, you know, had, you know, some problems with their demeanor, sometimes acting mean toward others. We have a friend that way. And, you know, that friend told us that if you knew what I've been through. When we inquired about that and hear that person's story, they'd been through so many horrible things in life. And oftentimes, you know, you run into people who hurt other people, but the people who hurt other people are oftentimes, listen now, they're often hurting themselves. And the reality is, the sad reality is that hurting people oftentimes hurt other people. But God calls you and I not to get in strife with them. God calls you and I to love them, to pray for them. God's not making us doormats. God said, I know how to fight your battle if there's a battle to be fought. Trust me. But our job is to walk in love, be a blessing to people. And oftentimes when we understand people, they're not the big old mean, you know, person that we've portrayed them in our mind to be. Oftentimes they've been beat up by life and they've been hurt. And now they spend their life hurting other people. We have to have, if we're going to keep the enemy from derailing our train or trying to rob our train, he's a defeated foe. We have to have and develop persistence, a refusal to quit, a refusal to give up. When things get tough, a refusal to walk by. When people go through things that are tough, they want to walk by their feelings. But God calls you and I to walk by the word. We have to have persistence. We have to have patience with people. Be patient with people. They probably didn't mean it anyway. They were stoning Stephen when he went down. He had an open vision out there, you know, Stephen's story in Acts chapter 7. And he, at 59, you know, he prays to the Lord, Lord, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Forgive them. Don't hold it against them. Don't hold this sin against them. Luke 23, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What does that demonstrate? Patience with people. People are really not the problem. Sometimes we focus on people. They're really not the problem. God calls you and I to look above, to pray for people. They didn't mean that. Give them grace. Pray for them. God calls us to focus our eyes different, above that. And so we have to have persistence, and we have to have patience with people. And finally tonight, we have to have perspective. Everybody say perspective. Perspective. What was the first thing I told you? What was the first word? Persistence. Yeah. What was the second word? Patience. Yeah. And now finally and thirdly, perspective. Perspective. Over in Mark chapter 5, verse 24 is another well-known story that I came to remind you of tonight. I came here to remind you. Unless it's your first time hearing it, praise God. Mark 5, 24 in the New American Standard. And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. And a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. This third word beginning with P is perspective. Perspective. We find here in the woman with the issue of blood the other two points I made. She overcame both of those other two points. She was first of all, she had a persistence about her. She had an unwillingness. She was just unwilling to quit. She was just determined, come hell or high water, she was going to get to Jesus. She refused to quit. Being sick like that, not supposed to be out, you know, like that, and you know, she just determined. There's crowds, you know, thronging Jesus, and everybody wants to touch him. Everybody needs something from him. You know, she probably faced, some people probably stared her down. Who you think you are? I was here first. I'm trying to get to Jesus too. Who you think you are? She had to have persistence to continue to press. When you have a godly persistence, you'll press your way through trials, press your way through troubles, press your way through adversity, press your way through your feelings. She had developed a persistence that she was not going to give up. And she had developed a patience. You know, the scripture there told us that she had many doctors. She'd been sick 12 long years, had many doctors. Think of the opportunities to be distracted here. She's paid all that money. Not only didn't get better, she got worse. She could have came to the meeting that day focused on the doctors. These no good doctors. She could have come with that perspective. These no good doctors. I've paid for 12 years, didn't get a thing, got worse. These doctors are terrible. We need to write some new laws for these doctors. These doctors are terrible. She could have come with that perspective. 12 years I paid. 12 years, didn't get a thing. Got worse. She could have showed up at the meeting like that. But she had perspective. She had perspective. She had a perspective that nobody else in the crowd had. She had persistence, yes. She had patience with people. She wasn't there thinking about the doctors and the failure of all of that and everybody who had tried to help her, all the money she had spent. She wasn't focused on that. That demonstrates, she knew, people are not my problem. I'm not going to let people divert me from keeping my eyes on Jesus. Her perspective was, if I just get to him, I'll have to be patient with people because people are going to back me up. People are going to say, get back. People are going to say, get out the way. People are going to say, I'm here first. But I'm sure she just had to say, would you excuse me, please? And then somebody said, hey, what you doing? Would you excuse me, please? And said, what you doing? Get out the way. Would you excuse me, please? Would you excuse me, please? And she had to not allow people to become her problem. Her doctor was not her problem, not at that time. The other people gathered there wanting to see Jesus were not her problem. She had a unique perspective. If I just get to him and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She had a perspective that nobody else had, and that perspective of faith drew the power out of Jesus. And when it happened, he turned around to say, who, somebody touched me. And she didn't own up to it right away. And the disciples were asking, well, everybody trying to touch you. What kind of question is that, Jesus? Everybody trying to touch you. Jesus, no. Somebody here touched me. Somebody here touched me with a unique perspective. Somebody here touched me. He said, somebody touched me. They have persistence in their faith. Somebody here touched me with patience in their faith. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Somebody here touched me, and they have perspective. And when we develop persistence and patience and perspective, oh, we can receive from God at a whole different level. Her faith was working fine. Jesus said, your faith made you well. And so often people are trying to depend on the faith of the Lord, and there are things he can do with his own, you know, with his own sovereignty. There are things he can do, of course. But he said to her, it was your faith that made you well. He said, your faith did that. And her faith enabled her to receive at a high level. When doctors couldn't help her, her faith enabled her to receive. When people couldn't help her, her faith enabled her to receive. And I don't know what you may be going through tonight, but your faith, I'm talking about you, your faith will enable you to receive from God. But you're going to have persistence. You're going to be patient with people. You're going to have perspective. Perspective. And when we read from the Word, I'll give you a final scripture before we go. But when we read from the Word says that, you know, look, Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, whatever things are just, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are worthy of praise, if there be any virtue, any praise, the scripture tells you and I, Philippians 4:8, think on these things. Because when we allow the Word of God to get in our mind, to get in our thoughts, to get in our thinking, the Word will change our perspective. And when we change our perspective through the Word, we begin to see as God sees. She had a perspective when she stepped into that crowd, I'm going to receive. I'm going to receive from God tonight. She had a patience with people. I'm not going to let people get in the way. I'm not going to let people distract me. She could have stood there and gotten into 50 arguments with people. You get out the way. No, you get out the way. I don't care. You another one. You get out the way. She wasn't doing all that. People were not her problem. She had already developed a persistence that enabled her to be patient with people. And through the Word, what she had heard about Jesus, she had a different perspective. And it was her faith that worked so mightily. And it's your faith that will work mightily if you'll keep the devil from robbing your train. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for your goodness and grace. And Father, I have endeavored to share what I felt you laid on my heart for tonight, to just share with the people and remind them about these three areas. Developing a persistence, being patient with people. Whoa. And through your Word, through the infusion of your Word, to change our perspective. And Father, I know you want people to know it's their faith. It's their faith that's working. It's their faith. It's their faith. Just like you told that woman, Lord Jesus, your faith has made you whole. So, if we need correction in some area, then help us tonight. If we need to change perspective, help us tonight. If we need patience with people, help us tonight. If we need to develop persistence, help us tonight. We'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, as you cause our faith to work mightily and prevail. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, our prayer workers are coming forward, anointed men, anointed women. You know how we do by now. If you're a man, you want prayer, come on down here to these guys, these anointed men. They're prayed up, ready to go. And you want prayer and you're a woman, come over here to this anointed woman. You say, she's just one woman. She's an anointed woman. This woman right here, she's a woman of prayer. She's an anointed woman. And I tell you, she'll pray heaven and earth together for you. You want prayer, you're a woman, come down here and pray with Francita. Whatever you need tonight, you want to be saved, born again, want to be filled with the Spirit, just want somebody to agree with you, come on down here, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. We love you. Be here Wednesday, hour of power. God bless you, one and all.